Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now.
Welcome to another episode of Overcoming Emotional Eating. We are all programmed by various things, whether it be our upbringing, our genetic coding, the media. We have been programmed to think and feel various ways without us even recognizing or realizing it. In today's episode, I talk about this programming and how you can change that so you can really be empowered in your space and what you think and feel and how you act, both with your food and without. Take a listen. And if you love this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks again for listening.
So tonight, as always, bringing something just a little bit different. At least I try to when I think through all of the aspects of food and weight and body change and relationship with our food. I mean, so many people don't really even value or understand that we have a relationship with our food. And that we have a relationship with our body, how we treat our body, how we feel about our body, how we think our body is feeling about us. The same thing with food, right? How do we feel about our food? How do we feel about our body with food? I mean, I've heard so many things over the years from, you know, I just don't have a metabolism, to maybe I was born or destined to be this way. To I just am addicted to sugar, right? There's all different parameters. I mean, it could go on and on and on with the list. But when we look at it, it boils down to a few things. But one that I want to talk about in particular tonight, as I was thinking about it, is in our programming. You know, in some ways, we are just like computers. Well, not really, and I hope not, because I don't I like what computers can do for us. I don't love computers, but I love people, and I love helping people figure themselves out. But we are programmed just like computers are programmed. We are programmed from our upbringing. We are programmed from our beliefs. We can be programmed from the media. We can be programmed from our friends. We can actually have some programming embedded genetically. We can have familial programming. It's pretty intense when you think about it, how much we are programmed. And we may not even recognize it. Now, for the purposes of this call, as you guys are thinking about what I'm going to talk about, I actually really want you to narrow your focus and really only hone in to thinking about your food, your weight, your body, your relationship with your food, and your relationship with your body. I normally will say you can carry it over into life, and that's true, whether it be professionally, around your children, or your spouse, or your home life. But for tonight, I don't want you to think about anything else but this. This whole kind of paradigm of how we relate to our food and how we relate to our body and how we feel about our food and our body. You see, paradigms are controlling our life. They just are, right? Habits launched in our mind are conditioned genetically and environmentally. And when we talk about the paradigm of food and eating and weight and body, we have a lot of programming that we need to unpack. It's a huge backpack full of a number of things. Some of us have a smaller backpack, and some of us have a really large backpack. For the clients that I've worked with that have been on and off diets their whole life, maybe even starting back to childhood, well, you probably have a bigger backpack. For other people that have just started trying to change their body or maybe started trying to change their relationship with their food, well, maybe your backpack is a little bit smaller. But understanding how you're programmed around this is imperative because people don't get it. They really don't get, everyone wants to think it's a number on a scale thing or it's a weight thing. It's really not. It's really not. It's a story that we're running inside our mind and inside our body and our biochemistry every single day. If we feel like we can't trust ourselves with our food, if we feel like our body's untrustworthy, well, we have gone against genetic coding that has been deeply ingrained in history. And in the last 100 years, we have flipped that code. We used to always, if you think back to caveman days, right? And I don't remember being a caveman, and you probably don't either, because it's a really long time ago. But, you know, I never heard about things like body dysmorphia. I never heard of anorexia, bulimia, compulsive overeating, even emotional eating. Didn't happen back then, right? In the last 50 to 100 years, the surgence of this continues to get higher and higher. Talking about who believes what and who thinks what about your weight and your food. And it's not just that we think it now, right? Or we feel it. It's that we also look to the outside world and we're hearing back about what somebody else thinks or feels about their own weight or body. And then sometimes it's about, you know, maybe how somebody feels about our weight or body. I mean, there's so much culturally that happens here in our country with programming on food, weight, body, that it's important. In fact, it's not just important, it's imperative that if you're trying to change how you eat in whatever way possible, whether you're trying to break your emotional eating code down and stop doing that behavior, whether you are just trying to change your eating to get healthy, the truth is, you have to understand the programming behind what, how, when, where, why you eat and how you feel about it. How we are programmed is in our mind. It's our thoughts, it's our beliefs, it's our emotions. Some of it's conscious and some of it's subconscious. Right? And the subconscious and the conscious lead to the overall programming of our entire being. How we talk to ourselves. Nobody ever really talks about that. And if you do, you might get a puppy dog tilt, right, as we call it. But we are talking to ourselves all day long. In fact, in the 24 hours prior to doing this call, I put myself on a challenge because, you know, I really do walk the walk and I really do talk the talk. And being incongruent in my life and inauthentic is one of the things I don't tolerate well. And so I put myself kind of on a challenge for this 24 hours. And I really became 100% conscious as much as I could, because there's always the chatter in the background, of what I was saying to myself, though, consciously. So when something happened, I consciously thought about what I was saying to myself around that thing, or maybe something totally unrelated. And then I go, wow, like, why did I think about that? The topic of the email was da-da-da, whatever that was, right? So how we talk to ourselves is imperative. It's what programs us. It's like what you type on the computer keyboard is how it talks back to you. How we talk to ourselves or our neurolinguistics is, you know, really imperative in our programming. What we think about ourselves, what we think about our food, what we think about our body. When we are at war with our body, we are at war with ourselves. We are not a walking head. We are a walking human being, which includes a head and a body. how we feel about who we are, what our body's like, how we eat, all lays down our programming. So let's start at the beginning and bring it down a little bit to talk about how all of this relates to you and to your food and your eating and your feeling about your food, eating, and your body. What we believe about our food, weight, and body, and the language or words we use to speak to ourselves or others about these things is imperative. I watch people, and I don't, trust me, if you hang out with me personally, I don't do this if I'm hanging out with friends, don't do it all the time. But there are many times clinically that I've watched people kind of try to connect with each other. And in that, you know, someone will walk up to another person and go, you know, gosh, I just need to lose 10 pounds. And the other person will go, oh, I totally get it. I do too. And gosh, it's terrible. And da 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 da. And therein lies this really interesting connection that begins to form around a negative construct in beating down our body. Now, I've watched this happen for years, and I get that it's a point of connection. And sometimes it's a point of constructive connection and like, hey, what do you do? What helps you? And sometimes it's a point of negative construction, right? What didn't work for you? Or gosh, this just isn't working at all. What do you say to yourself about your food, how you eat, what your weight is, or how your body looks? Right there, that's our programming, right? And sometimes we're on the right channel and sometimes on the wrong. Just like a TV, right? And sometimes we can flip that channel. So we might be in this really negative space and we click that channel and all of a sudden we're in a different space. Well, paying attention to how you clicked the channel is important because that shows you that you have different programming. You just have to learn how to get yourself in there. Sometimes we can feel good about ourselves around these things and sometimes we don't. You can change how you're programmed. You don't have to fall victim to hating your body, hating your food, hating how you eat, right? Or just throwing your hands up and giving up. Apathy is not the road to change either. Might feel less stressful, but the truth is apathy and procrastination, I believe, is one of the mothers of all evil, so to speak, because you have it in the back of your mind, it's stored, and all it does is build up pressure. So the truth is there's two ways we can change the programming, right? There's conscious change and there's subconscious change. Now, I'm not going to go into all of it for the, you know, because I would be here for a really long time. But I wanted to take a couple of conscious programming methods so you can see and hear them. And I want to give you some ways to look at beginning to change those should you need to. And again, tonight, I want you to focus on your food, weight, body, and your relationship with your body. Conscious change patterns are the things that we can tap into while we're awake. They're the things that we know happen. So, for example, over the last 24 hours when I was kind of tracking what I was saying to myself inside my mind when I was in reaction or action, that's a conscious programming, right? So I was tracking that to see what I was saying to myself. And that's one of the easiest places to begin if you don't even understand what your programming is. Now, you really need a pen and a piece of paper to track your conscious programming because the truth is, there is a whole lot of truth to the fact about we say a whole lot in our minds all day long. We just do. Even if it's like, what picture would look pretty there? You know, that's one thing, right? So when you're looking at this for yourself, and again, it really is important to hone it into specifics because you get a whole lot of chatter in your brain you probably don't even realize about. But when you're really thinking about food and weight, body and eating, start and begin, first way to track conscious programming is your language. People call it neurolinguistics. What do you say in your brain? So what do you say to yourself about your food? How do you eat? Where do you eat? Why do you eat? Or when do you eat? How does that happen? What do you say about your body or your weight? Maybe you talk about your relationship with your food. Maybe you recognize that you eat when you're sad or you're happy, and maybe there's some talk in your brain about that, more neurolinguistics. So the language that you use about yourself, and sometimes about other people, because sometimes we deflect by talking about how somebody else eats or how somebody else's weight is, mainly because we bring it back around to us, right? But understanding what language you're using is important to really getting what your programming is and where and how was that programmed. But the first step is to understand what the language is. When you get the language, then you can really understand if there's any beliefs in there. Now, I've been teaching about beliefs for a long time, and I learned about beliefs from a huge guru in the field. I believe one of the best around belief constructs. And you might not even realize that those are there. The things about beliefs is that you're actually your unconscious GPS. They control us where we go down the road of life without us even knowing it. So our language makes up our beliefs. Some of our language is not necessarily belief, but as you're tracking your language, you can come up with beliefs. So for example, I don't trust myself with potato chips, or I can never eat just one. Those are beliefs. Those are not just language. So what do you believe with yourself and your food, your weight, your body, your eating? Do you believe you're in control, conscious, and content with your food, weight, or body? Or are you out of control, unable to truly eat what your body needs? Or do you feel like your body's flawed? Maybe you have, quote unquote, no metabolism, right? That's all belief. And you can track that to understand what programming you have around these things. And then the third is understanding what emotions and or actions you have and or take in or do with respect to your food, weight, and body. And you've got to write this stuff down because it's kind of like a computer code. You know, computer programmers go from something, some kind of manual, right, to really get what the programming of the computer is or what they're going to do with the programming of the computer. And you have to do the same so you can understand it. You can't just sit back and think, oh, there it is. That's what I think. Oh, that's what I do. You really got to write it down. Next, we've got subconscious programming. There's a way to change subconscious programming, and there's a way to understand what your subconscious programming is. So for example, if you start to get a sense of how you visualize you with food, I've worked with many clients who actually have a pretty interesting visual of themselves with food, and that visual may be based on real experience. It might be based on history of like, oh, I remember a time when I sat down and I ate a whole gallon of ice cream. So that visual is stuck in the mind, right? It's an image that's stuck. And that image translates to our subconscious mind. Conversely, we can actually put visuals in our mind that are empowering and engaging. And so if you only want to eat a certain quantity of a food that would feel good to you, what if you visualized you doing it? What if you visualized how you wanted your body to look or to feel? All of that impacts our subconscious programming. Second, music. Who would have thought music would get to our subconscious? But there's something called binaural beats, B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L. Binaural beats and subconscious mind programming are actually approaches to healing that are most commonly aimed at activating a theta state in the brain. This is where the psychology of a patient is most susceptible to suggestion. In order to implant positive affirmations. So binaural beats, and you can find, there's plenty of binaural beat meditations or music patterns that you can find on YouTube. Trust me, I was looking through them today. So you can take a look at that. Binaural beats can help us to reframe things and help our mind program itself in a different way subconsciously. And then finally, and I talk about this a lot, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but subconsciously, meditation and thought patterns before bedtime. So powerful. Now, not everybody can meditate, and I get it. I really do. But it doesn't mean you can't sit down for 5 minutes and just quiet your mind. Just be quiet. That's all you need to do, because it starts to reprogram the subconscious brain that there's actually breaks in the day. You can also do guided meditations or talking meditations. Deepak Chopra actually now has his own app. He's launched a free, I think it's a 21-day meditation experience. He and Oprah used to do it. Now he's taken that, and Oprah's kind of come on his app to do this 21-day free meditation pattern. But it looks like, I don't know what the fee is because I haven't looked at that, but he's going to start to do a lot more of that on this app, obviously for a fee, but he'll have meditations and thoughts for the day. It's really interesting. And in fact, now that I've found it, I need to actually sit down and look through it. It's something I'm going to wind up doing for myself, but not that you have to use him, but there's many others out there. And it doesn't mean that you sit down and you're going to transcend for 30 minutes. If you're starting to meditate, 2 minutes is enough just to be quiet. Bruce Lipton, who has done a number of things online with respect to subconscious programming, says, the moment you change your perception is the moment you rewrite the chemistry of your body. And I'm going to add to that, if we rewrite the chemistry of our body, well, don't we change how our body responds to food? Right, therein lies the trick.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.